Well, there's a battle going on in rural Australia between farmers and miners. Coal seam gas plants are springing up in pastures which usually grow cattle, cotton and grain. Rural communities are caught between the financial rewards of allowing coal seam gas onto their properties and the worry that farming could be destroyed if water and soil are contaminated by the mining process. Legally and technically, farmers own the land, but any minerals below belong to the state, who can sell the mining rights to whomever they choose. Some farmers have fought back for years against the encroachment of the coal seam gas industry. Queensland farmer George Bender was one of them. Last year, George Bender took his life, overwhelmed by years of fighting. His daughter Helen vowed to take up the fight, and that's what she's done. She's conducting a workshop in mental health at an anti-coal and gas conference on the New South Wales Central Coast this weekend. Her aim is to tell other communities how to protect themselves from the stress of fighting these prolonged battles. Helen Bender, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we remember the headlines of your father's suicide, and we remember seeing him on the 7:30 report, and it was a terribly sad story for the nation, but for your family, this was a devastation.
That's one way of putting it, yes. It's still, I guess we're coming up to nearly 6 months without Dad, and it doesn't get any easier.
It's still early days.
Very early days.
Yeah. We remember seeing you on Q&A just, I think, was it 10 days after your father's death, standing up and challenging the panel?
Right, well, that was actually, another thing that the nation wouldn't have known. I actually had my birthday the day before Dad's funeral, so it was a very, very heavy time for me at that time. So I kind of wish I'd actually addressed the nation more in my response as opposed to addressing the panel, because I still don't feel that our government is listening to us at all.
What would you say to the nation rather than the politicians?
I'd actually like to let the nation know that we're in a very, very interesting position, and I don't say interesting as in exciting, I say interesting as in a scary position, just with our democratic rights being eroded away just for the corporate gain.
One of the points that your father repeatedly made was that he felt that these companies had more rights over the land than landowners.
They absolutely do. And you know, ultimately, I just recently posted what I've done some more research in, how the industry got going in the United States. I've spoken and have had a chat on the UK radio, and I've spoken to a lady in Scotland. And it's very well established that this industry is hidden behind layers of silence. And those silences are the rights that they have over any Australian person.
What do you mean by silences there? Do you mean that people are gagged from speaking, or what?
It's a layer. There's layers of silence around this industry that establishes it. It's the only way the industry can be established. The first layer of silence is our legal silence, and that's through our legislation and our acts. In Australia, there's no triggers on the amount of water they take underground. They have unlimited use to our underground water, and for the driest continent, or for one of the driest continents, that's absurd. Legal silence around, they only have to partially monitor their emissions. Silence around the chemicals that they use, there's no full disclosure of what is happening. The second layer of silence is through our departments, our federal and state governments, EHP and health. You look at the consequences of what is happening here in Queensland, and the Department of Health and EHP are silent. They refuse to monitor. They refuse to come out and do the appropriate testing. The Condamine River bubbling, that's just, again, another layer of silence. I have a report done on that, and that's frightening. The third layer of silence is those gagging clauses, where if the industry perceives any individual to be of a perceived threat, they will buy them out, they'll sign them up into confidentiality clauses, they gag those people. And unfortunately, the fourth layer of silence is our mainstream media. You know, it should be reported that there's radioactive rainwater. It should be reported that there's radioactive derivatives in our Condamine Weir, which is drinking water for the township of Chinchilla. Silence. What's happening? Why is Queensland Health, with regards to the health impacts, why is it not put on our mainstream media? Like, it is really covered in layers of silence. And that's the frustrating part for the people who are impacted. We are not heard.
Let's go back to the campaign that your father was waging. Over 10 years he was fighting this coal seam gas move onto the property in the Chinchilla region. Water was one of his concerns. What happened?
It essentially started around 2005, and that's when Queensland Gas Company, QGC, who are now owned by Shell and Arrow, they were proposing to put in a gas-fired power station near our property of Chinta. So Dad was looking into what this all meant. There was seismic testing that was done by both Queensland Gas Company and Origin Energy for APLNG across the property of Chinta. The companies then, once they got their information, initial information, they went away and they started to develop, obviously, their gas fields. George's fight didn't stop there, though. He learnt then about what this industry was all about, and he went and stood by the our neighbours, I guess you could say, in the Tara Estates, who were at the forefront of all the exploratory work that was been undertaken, the wells that were being drilled. And that was actually kind of unheard of at that stage for someone like George to go into the Tara Estates and stand side by side with them. But he did that because he knew they were coming back for him. His plight then was, I need to educate myself. I need to know everything before they come back to me. It wasn't long before they did come back. When they did come back, QGC wanted to put in 3 exploratory wells. Dad was able to, he heavily negotiated against that, in that the compensation that they were prepared to pay George was $265 per year per well if operational, no further compensation. So that was just for the well component. There was obviously another very small compensation component with regards to the land that they may acquire in terms of like the well pad itself and any tracks across the land. So these wells average around $43,000 a day. I mean, that's an average. You have your golden wells, which are around $1 million a day. And QGC, the Queensland Gas Company, had said to Dad at that time, because this was around that 2005, 2006, and Queensland was in a bit of a drought period there, and their remark to George was, you wouldn't make $265 off your land in a drought. So that was their way of saying, hi, we'd like to be a business partner with you. We'll just insult your business because we know nothing about your business or your financial capabilities or viabilities of this property.
And what are the property's capacities? What is farmed there and what's the size
of it? Well, Chinta has, hanging on our wall here, is George's grower of the year for cotton, dryland cotton. So that's across, you know, all of the Darling Downs. He was grower of the year. Yeah, no, I mean, these properties are million dollar properties. You don't make $265 a year off them, even in a year of a drought. But George was, he stood firm and he said no.
Eventually, 2 bores on Chinta went dry, but that wasn't because wells had been put on the property. That was from adjoining properties?
Yeah, the closest well to us, operational well, was probably in excess of 2 kilometres away. And that is the concern, in just that you do not need infrastructure on your property to be impacted. And there's many landholders out here who are impacted who have no wells. And so since those 2 water bores on Chinta have actually, what happened, they just, with the depressurisation of the Walloon coal measure, it basically, as the drop, in the as they dewater the aquifer, it releases the gas. The gases that are trapped due to that pressure become free-flowing. So they don't just automatically go to the gas well. They'll find any available conduit to come to the surface. So we had 2 bores that started gurgling the gas and were at explosive levels. So, yeah, we could light them and they would just burn away with the methane that was coming out. And then just after Dad's funeral, nearly a month after Dad's funeral, one of those bores actually kicked the water. Like, the gas and the pressure underneath was so intense that the water was coming forced from the gas to the surface. And so Origin Energy, we were in a make good agreement that had been signed to decommission those two water bores. Origin Energy were refusing to come in and actually undertake those works until, of course, one of those bores kicked, and then they basically had to come on and decommission the bores. I think that's what people need to understand. You don't have to have the infrastructure on your property to be impacted, especially when it comes to underground water. Everyone will be impacted with the loss of this underground water.
So your father was fighting to try and, well, what, stop this pollution or...
His legacy really is the underground water. The fact that our legislation allowed this industry to have unlimited take on the underground water, that was one fight. And his second fight was prime agricultural land. Now, there's only 5.86% of this strategic cropping land. So that is area where you can be guaranteed two crops per year in, and you're in that higher rainfall area. So in all of Queensland, there is just over the 5%. And with this industry coming over, one, we'll lose the underground water, and two, it would make farming inefficient to the extent that it may become unviable. So compensation to the landholder is not compensation in terms of long-term compensation. We're talking about viability of our future, to feed our future, when we have a growing population and we only have 5% of land to grow this food on in Queensland. So he couldn't understand why an industry that is so detrimental to prime agricultural land would be allowed to just roll over the top of it.
On Life Matters, we're talking with Helen Bender, who is the daughter of the late George Bender, who committed suicide last year after a prolonged battle trying to keep coal seam gas operations off his land, and also the subsequent pollution from other operations off his land as well. Can you tell us a little about your father, Helen? I'm sure you will have had to answer this question many times. Men in rural communities are at a greater risk of suicide. We know that. And traditionally, they don't talk it out. They tough it out. What about your dad's state of mind just before he died? Was there evidence of depression? Was there evidence of other things going on? How do you know it was solely about this issue?
The very last conversation that was being had right the second before it all happened was about Origin Energy, the purchase, the forcing us to sell, and the impact that it was having on not just Dad, but the entire family. The 30 days was up, so Origin Energy gave Dad a letter forcing him to sell the property within 30 days or go to court. So that... to me, that being the last conversation, I don't see that there's any other fingers that need to be pointed, but, you know, Origin Energy are to blame for this. And obviously you can look back at the Queensland government for allowing the industry to have such power over landholders. But in terms of mental illness and depression, one of the last things Dad had actually said to me was, I'm so sorry. This might be a bit emotional, sorry. One of the last things was, he said, yeah, he was sorry. He shouldn't have done it. My brain snapped. So I had to work out what he meant by, you know, the brain snap. And so what I've done, and this will actually come out in the Family Senate submission, I've did a lot of research into what bullying and the impacts of bullying and how to have, what impacts does it kind of have on someone's mental health. And I was able to, because I just knew, and in our, even in our media statement, we made it very clear that there was no mental health issues. And I think it's a title that is so easily able to be given to people who go, oh, well, they committed suicide. Oh, well, they must have been completely depressed. Mm. They must have had mental illness. But when you look at the symptoms of either of those two, there was no sign. So what was it? I had to go searching for that. And I ended up finding quite significant information around what they term as psychiatric injury, and the difference between mental illness and psychiatric injury is really important because injury has an external cause, that is, something or someone is liable for it. And, you know, it's often not recognised the differences between mental illness and psychiatric injury, and that's really hard to take, very hard to take as a daughter.
Can I just take you back to what your father was saying? He said he was sorry he had a brain snap. What did he mean by those words? That he knew what he was going to do? Is that what you're saying?
I think the way I look at that and the way I've been able to understand that is that, you know, with mental illness, people will take their life because of despair, whereas I think with the psychiatric injury, they take their life because they see it as the next logical step. And now you look at what position the family is in now. Origin Energy and QGC have just made a statement to us that they will no longer develop over Chinta. And you have to then ask yourself, well, if you were prepared not to develop Chinta when Dad is no longer here, why weren't you prepared to accept Dad's answer? No, I don't want your wealth in my cultivation. I don't want you to make my business unviable. Why couldn't they accept it when he was alive? So when he said, my brain snapped, I feel as that he thought the only way to save his family was not to be here.
Yeah, there is an interview with him with the ABC's Mark Willissey only in the months before he died, saying that why would he leave this land? There was no logical reason to leave his farm. To where would he go? Where else would he want to be?
Exactly. He's married to the land. Yeah. I think that it really comes down to that injustice, I would say, around how can a multinational organisation walk into your home and say, we are buying this in 30 days, and if you don't agree, we will take you to court. That is just... what do you do? Yeah. And now we're in a position where, Origin Energy have just dusted their hands from us and are just walking over the top and just saying, oh, well, we won't develop this now. Well, why couldn't they just come to some sort of coexistence with George? Because he had sat down and he had said, well, I can live with those wells, but I can't live with these ones. Now, that's coexistence. You win some, you lose some. Why wasn't that good enough? Because, you know, life now is not the same.
Well, a few days before your father's funeral, your brothers brought in what was one of the best harvests you'd ever had on Chinta. It certainly was and continues to be productive, beautiful land. Mm. You're now taking up the fight and you're going to talk at this conference on the Central Coast in New South Wales to people who are involved in this fight and telling them about what the pressures can be like. What are you going to say?
I am going to go down as a representative of George, and I'll be quite open. I'll definitely be asking people to ask me questions and how I can best provide them with some sort of insight. And I'll show Dad a lot of respect with regards to his legacy. It will be a difficult workshop, given, you know, George takes the ultimate step, and something that took us all by surprise in the sense that, I still don't believe it. Essentially, it's something hard to get your head around. But, you know, I think people really need to understand what I think, the way that I've analysed what's happened to Dad, because, you know, if you're going to look for mental illness and you're going to look for depression, you won't see that in people who are being basically injured by an external force such as these these organisations and even our government. So I think the information that I've collected since Dad's death could be very insightful for people to have a better understanding of what's really going on. Hopefully I can answer people's questions, and hopefully I can just help at least one or two people down there to really understand what they may all be feeling right now.
Helen Bender, I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you for talking to us, and good luck with sharing your message.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
This is a song by the Australian duo O'Shea, a husband and wife team. They were just about to release it last year when they heard about George Bender's death, and they dedicated it to him. And soon there's going to be a video clip released with images of George on it. The song's called The Truth Walks Slowly. It's about coal seam gas, and it was written by Rob Hurst, who is from Midnight Oil. Now, if you need help for depression, you can call Lifeline on 131114 or Beyond Blue 1300 224636.